Välkommen till Mediumpodden med de välkända medierna Vivi Linde och Camilla Elving. Vi delar här med oss av vår breda kunskap och ibland har vi med spännande gäster.
Hej, jag heter Camilla och jag verkar som spiritualistisk medium. Jag håller seanser och sittningar och så har jag skrivit flera böcker om det översinnliga. Samt gjort en orakelkortlek som heter Helig Magi. Jag driver Elving Institute på Södermalm i Stockholm. Det är en medium- och själsresaskola.
Och det här är Vivi. Jag är medium, sierska, häxa, författare. Samt har varit med i tv och driver tarotguiderna som är Sveriges största tarotlinje och mediala portal. Med cirka 80 bloggare.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tillsammans och välkomna till Mediumpodden med Vivi Linde och Camilla Elving.
Vi båda verkar som medium, skriver böcker och Camilla kurser i och utanför Sverige.
Det andliga och mediala har funnits med oss båda under hela livet och det här är vår livspassion. Välkomna till en spännande episod som handlar om ut ur kroppen-upplevelser och vibrationstillståndet. Det handlar om översinnliga erfarenheter på andra platser än här på jorden. Jag, Camilla Elving, intervjuar Rodrigo Montenegro som precis som jag själv har omfattande erfarenhet av det här ämnet. Det som skiljer mig och Rodrigo åt är däremot att han har mycket mer vetenskaplig inblick. Han är mer insatt i forskningen på det här området. Dels, vad ska man säga, enkel forskning, sån här enkätbaserad sådan eller som sker via frågeformulär på en del privata skolor, till exempel Monroe-institutet, till exempel IAC där Rodrigo själv har varit instruktör. Men också forskning som bedrivs på universiteten runt om i olika länder i väst främst. Och det är mot den bakgrunden som jag ställer en del frågor till Rodrigo eftersom jag själv är så himla intresserad av det här ämnet och det hoppas jag och tror att du också är som lyssnar på podden. Jag vill kort kommentera också varför jag ställer en speciell fråga till Rodrigo, nämligen det här om de sexuella magiska äventyren som man kan ha. För det är ju så att i så gott som varenda bok som finns på det här området och jag har läst åtskilliga så står det om att människor har sådana här erotiska möten på olika sätt och på en del nya sätt som är liksom mer större, härligare, mer omfattande än vad det sexuella äventyret på jorden är. Och det är av det skälet som jag ställer den här frågan till Rodrigo bara för att se liksom vad han svarar på det här ämnet som vi alla kanske tycker är lite spännande. Så, och det handlar inte bara om reproduktion utan det handlar ju om kommunikation när det kommer till högre astrala sexuella äventyr. Jag har en bok framför mig skriven av en annan instruktör som är väl etablerad i vår bransch. Och han heter William Buhlman och är instruktör på Monroe-institutet. William Buhlman har skrivit flera väldigt bra böcker om det här out of body experience, alltså ut ur kroppen upplevelser och vibrationstillståndet. Och i den här boken som jag har framför mig som heter The Secret of the Soul så står det just så här om sexuella erfarenheter och här har ju de intervjuat människor alltså om detta. Då står det så här: I was somewhat surprised by the number of sexual experiences that I received in response to the survey. Some people perceive these experiences as wonderful and exhilarating, while others found them strange or even threatening. It appears that sex beyond the body is far more prevalent and diverse than expected. Males and females from various cultures reported being open and receptive to such experiences. The way we perceive and experience non-physical sex is dependent upon the energy body we are consciously using at any given time. For example, experiences that occur in the parallel and astral dimensions are perceived as very physical, while in the higher vibrational realms, they are reported as much more of an intense mind and soul melding experience. It is often described as an incredible thought embrace in which two people touch, cares and completely melt together through the subtle energy of their thoughts. The reported orgasms are often described as global mind and emotion explosions that emanate from the soul instead of just the lower chakras. Of one thing we can be certain, sex definitely continues beyond the body. Just det, en sak kan vi verkligen vara helt klara över och det är att vi fortsätter att ha erotiska, magiska äventyr med varandra. För det här handlar om kommunikation, högre kommunikation och det handlar om en stor andlig sanning, nämligen att det bara finns en av oss, att vi alltså kan sammansmälta med varandra och då uppleva oss egentligen som en enhet. Oneness alltså. Får önska er god lyssning. Today's topic is the out-of-body experience, the vibrational state and super evolved consciousness and perhaps some extra physical romance and astral love. Maybe we will talk about that. Welcome, warm, wonderful welcome, Mr. Rodrigo Montenegro.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's so good to have you here to discuss this topic with me.
Thank you.
Yes, and we will see if we get to that astral love thing. I don't know.
Of course. But it's an interesting subject for certain.
Hope it doesn't embarrass you in any way.
Not at all.
You know that I am an OBE myself. I was having those experiences for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm overexcited to sit here with you as you are a former instructor at the ISC.
Exactly, that's correct.
Yes, so let me start with this. What is an out-of-body experience, please?
The out-of-body experience is really a phenomena where your consciousness shifts its perception itself to a place beyond the body. So you perceive yourself as if you were outside of the body and experience things in the same way as you do in the physical body. But the only difference is that you're no longer perceiving yourself in a corporeal way. So you are, most of the time perceiving your psyche or what they call the astral body, during that shift. So it's a perception of yourself, your consciousness, from an external point of view. And that's most of the time that perception is very clear, is very objective. And it's very powerful in itself most of the time. And that's one of the differences that we can perceive from that, you know, exteriorization of the consciousness, that shift out of the body. And what is really interesting mm-hmm. about this is that, of course, that's being subjective. What is interesting is that that generally shifts also your mindset, your understanding of life. It had the experience in itself can have a deep impact into your personality and change who you are, how you perceive life, how you perceive the physical condition. You most of the time have a shift that is long lasting.
Interesting. Yes.
And for example, if my first experience, I was a person that would not believe that that was possible. And so this was when I was between 18 and 19 years old. And what happened is that I had my first experience, and from there and then, I never came back to, you know, think that that reality was not an objective one.
It's so interesting because the same during the same period of time, it must have been like 1989 or 1988 for you, mm-hmm. the same year as I started to project.
Interesting.
Yes. Very interesting. Yeah. Anyway, but who is? I mean, you have a lot of scientific knowledge about this topic, a lot of. For me, very interesting things about demography, about the profile, the character of the OBE person, so to speak. And so who is experiencing this? What is the profile of this person?
The characteristics, the psychology, the emotionality. So let's come back a little bit before I respond to that. My perception of this from a scientific point of view is that everyone projects every night. And there is a reason for this. And I have a theory that I just published now in a journal called Autoricerca. And it's an Italian journal, but also in English. And people can access that, you know, information. But what I delineate there is a theory to explain why we have this in ourself, how we have this ability, and how through time and through historical times we have data of people who have experienced this phenomena spontaneously. And so the fact is that is we are driven, our body is genetically made so has to experience this. So we go through a process that is called atonia during sleep. So that's a process where, you know, the nervous system shuts off itself, because during dream, when you have that process of atonia, you are not acting on your dream. So let's say, for example, you are dreaming that you are running, you are not moving your limbs. Okay, and so that's the shutting down of the nervous system. And what does that do, in my opinion, is that that shifts, or that renders the possibility of that shift that we are talking about, of having the consciousness go out. So that is independent of personality and emotionality. Mm. Now, we know very little, to respond to your question, we know very little about, you know, the personalities that are more inclined to have that. And what we see today is that there was a certain held belief that scientific people were less inclined to have that, and that's not the case. In reality, what we see is that there is a certain amount of scientific people, even people in the academia, with, you know, researchers like myself, there are, or that have experienced this. So the question is, what in your personality will lead you to be more open to that? And I think that's, you know, a question of openness, a question of experiencing. A little bit like you could be inclined or open to like piano over guitar, and you would be inclined to be maybe better suited to learn piano for whatever reason there is. Maybe we'll have those innate capacities that lead us exactly to have this predisposition to those things, but that's just predisposition. And so maybe there is a genetic, you know, factor to it. Certainly there is a physiological condition, the one that I, you know, I refer to as of a physical condition or biological condition that renders that possible, the question of atonia. And so that is a doorway to those dimensions. But now there is the psychological side, and that is not well studied. We need to understand what are the predisposing factor. What we know from other studies, we have studies that have been made with people who do remote viewing. And what we know is that the ones that fetch better are the ones who are not, that are open-minded enough, but are objective enough. So they have more objectivity, they have more of a level of self-criticism to be able to criticize, but at the same time remaining open to the experience, so that they don't process that information through their own beliefs. They are able to be a little bit more critical and not to project their own perception, their own belief into the experience.
This is so interesting. So, but in the scientific exploration of out-of-body experience, we have, for instance, kind of, I would call it, consider them to be skeptics, like Olaf Blanc, you know, in Switzerland. They're also, they're always trying to, you know, reduce this phenomena to something about the brain or lack of oxygen in the brain, stuff like that. What do you say about those kind of...
Well, I think that's the right way to go about it. And
lack
let
of
me
oxygen.
No, what I'm saying, the methodology. We have to understand, you know, better what happens to the brain, what happens to the nervous system before we can explore and try to find, you know, newer, more interesting, you know, type of, you know, explanation. So my position today is that because we don't have the technology necessarily to understand the consciousness that goes beyond the physical and the brain, we have to explore what's happening in the brain. And so that's the correct, you know, procedure in terms of, you know, science, in terms of epistemology. We need to understand the brain better so that we see that the explanations that we have so far, like, you know, the ones of Olaf Blanc, they only correspond to a certain level of, you know, understanding of the overall, you know, experience itself. The experience itself is not encompassed by any study, any research that has been done so far. There are about, in my last calculation, I'm doing a paper where I'm going to present, you know, data on to how limited is the knowledge that we have today if we compare this to the experiential experiences that people have had. So if we look at, you know, the theories that try to explain OBE, like, you know, lack of oxygen, the temporal parietal junction explanation of Olaf Blanc, and so on, that do not explain the entirety of the phenomenon. They explain certain bits of it, but they do not explain everything. And so complement that question with, you know, Olaf Blanc, is that Olaf Blanc, what he has seen a correlation of some of his patients when they were stimulated in the temporal parietal junction and they perceive, or they had the perception of going out of the body. But that perception in itself, when we look at it, does not correspond necessarily to all body experience. They correspond more to dissociative type of phenomena, which is a pathological condition. And that happens very, very little during out-body experience. The out-body experience is something that is much more objective and much more complex than, you know, this only phenomena of, you know, dissociation that is perceived through the stimulation of the TPAG.
I think it's much more interesting to study, you know, content. What does this kind of phenomena tell us? What does it give us? What kind of achievements or benefits could we extract from it or have from it? You know, that is a much more interesting study.
I absolutely agree, but the only caveat to that is that people have the ability to explore.
Yeah.
People have the ability to have their own, you know, belief into what that reality is. But we see today is that people lack objectivity. They don't necessarily understand if they are really in that state, mm-hmm. if it's a lucid dream, if it's an out-body experience, if it's a dissociation. Mm-hmm. So we need to have a more objective perception of all those things to help people have a sound ground in their experience so that they can objectively and critically have a better appreciation, because not everyone has that level of criticality or criticism about their own experience. They jump too early into conclusions. Mm. And sometimes those conclusions become the foundation of an experience that they think is real, but that's not the entire picture. So having a more objective approach, having a more grounded approach into science, into the understanding of the brain, will lead us more specifically to understand what it is and what it is not. And for example, that condition of dissociation is very specifically expressed in the brain. Mm-hmm. And so we can measure mm-hmm. that is dissociation. Mm-hmm. And so when we see people achieving the out-body experience, we would or we should expect a brain that behaves different in a different way. Mm. And so that is what's missing today in today's research. Something that is more objective to show us that, you know, the brain really does behave in a very peculiar, in a very specific way. And that's the research we are trying to do.
This is so interesting. And perhaps sometimes I think that maybe we should talk about more about vibrational state and sometimes even replace it, vibrational state, with the outer body experience, or even just talk about the vibrational state instead.
Yeah, that's a good example. The vibrational state, for example, it's really badly understood. A mm-hmm. lot of people think that they have the vibrational state, and when you test them, they are unable to achieve a condition that is objective. So there are different ways to test.
Yes.
The first thing is that we, in people who are efficient professionals, you know, that have had long time. Experience, you know, the vibrational state and are able and apt and expert into, you know, achieving that condition, they have a very, very specific type of, you know, brain characteristics.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the research that mm-hmm. I have, you know, done that I'm going to publish, you know, later, hopefully this year, which shows a very, very...
Through EEG.
So electroencephalography. Mm-hmm. So what we have done is that we have tested volunteers, you know, that were apt, able to induce the vibrational state. Mm-hmm. And also we perceived that there were some that were not able to induce this and that didn't have the same physiological correlates that the ones that are reported. So we know subjectively what the vibrational state is mm-hmm. in terms of the intensity, in terms of, you know, certain of the phenomenology. But what we didn't know so far is what happens in the brain. And so with people who are experienced at inducing this, they are apt and able to say that's the vibrational state by definition, because we have a certain theoretical, you know, a frame of work. That's an hypothesis. And so we say that's the vibrational state. We may not know that that really is the vibrational state. So, for example, when it was studied in the beginning, when, you know, perception and authors were talking about the vibrational state, we had very little information. Today, we have more information about the phenomenology of the vibrational state, what it is and what it isn't. And so we can subjectively assess. But what is more interesting now is that we can objectively assess the vibrational state as well. And perceive if the person is really able to induce a state, but that's more for the benefit of the person itself, because then you can have a better perception without the need of someone external to you mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. guide you and say, hey, that I'm on the right way. Of course, someone external that is more apt, someone more psychic, mm-hmm. maybe would perceive that. But I think that, you know, the objective is really for you to train yourself into that state, because that state And what is interesting about it is that it's really beneficial to you in so many different levels, and certainly for the brain as well. We can discuss this, but it's also a doorway to the out-body experience.
Absolutely. And I know that you're really keen on this technical measurement. You really like to have technical equipment to prove those things, if you're in an obese state or not, etc. And it's really interesting, really. And I'm aware that you were like, you knew Valdo Vieira, of course.
Yeah, that's correct.
A friend of yours, yeah. And was he your mentor?
No, Valdo Vieira was more like a friend to me. It was more like, you know, family, I would say. Yeah. I knew him from the time, you know, I was, from the time I experienced my first OBE, my first induced OBU, I started to get, you know, into researching institutions and books and that were offering data on how to, you know, achieve it, but also how to explain it.
And it was self-induced OBE. It wasn't the,
my first OBE was a self-induced OBE. I had a few others that were, you know, when I was like 5 years old, but they were spontaneous. Mm-hmm. But my first self-induced OBE was, you know, between 18 and 19. And so there I was really surprised because of the impact it had, mm-hmm. you know, when you perceive your psyche going out of the body and then you perceive, you know, extra physical consciousness, a consciousness made of light, radiant light coming next to you is like very, in a very similar fashion, has a near-death experience, but induced by mm-hmm, yourself, mm-hmm. It was really surprising, and certainly it had shifted entirely my perspective. And since then, I decided to study all about the experience, and here I am today.
Yeah, I fully understand that.
Still doing that. Yes. But the fact is that what was happening is that then I went to, you know, an institution that, you know, Valdo founded, you know, initially with some other, you know, people, that was called the IIP, the International Institute of Projectiology. Projectiology standing for the science that was studying out body experience. Mm-hmm. And so I became, you know, acquainted with Valdo. We, you know, got to know each other. We had a few times where we met in London, where we went to visit, you know, libraries. He was a big fan of buying books on psychism, on, you know, mediumship, on different paranormal phenomena. And so this is how, you know, I got to know him. So Valdo, of course, was a public figure giving class, and I did a few courses and classes with him. But I had, you know, the privilege, you know, to know him and to talk to him directly. But I wouldn't say there was a mentorship involved with it. Yeah.
But you learned a lot from him and his books and his...
Yes, certainly there is no doubting that. I mean, Valdo, when he published, you know, the book Projectiology, which is a treatise about, you know, out-body experience, it was like one of the most, you know, comprehensive, you know, book on the subject. And I would say that anyone that would, you know, study out-body experience would need to have, you know, studied that, because it was giving a very broad overview, panorama of,
absolutely,
you know, the different phenomena mm-hmm. associated with it.
Nothing can compete with that book. I've seen it. Well, like 1,200 pages.
Absolutely,
like,
and it's a good book, but it's really outdated. You know, today we know much more.
Really?
We know in terms of, you know, the phenomenology, in terms of, you know, the neuroscience. A lot of the things there are really limited. It's really interesting from a phenomenological point of view, but it's 20 years old. In
so
terms
it's
of,
progressing. It's,
of course, we know much more today in terms of the neuroscience, for example, of different states, mm-hmm. which are not really, you know, the focus of the book. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I think the book lacks a little bit, you know, a more scientific, in-depth approach in terms of, you know, the science that we could propose today for out-body science. But certainly in terms of phenomenology, it's really interesting. And again, it gives an overview. And I think that the work of Valdo in itself is really interesting that way, because it gives you that overview. It has, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is it has a lot of flaws. It has a lot of limitations, specifically in terms of epistemology, in terms of science. It's more like a psychological, you know, type of science, or more of a human nature. And I think it would fetch well into harboring more hard data. Mm. But again, it's a limitation. Every science has a limitation. But I think we would be it would be interesting to encompass a science that takes into consideration the neurophenomenology, so the phenomenology associated to the neuros side of things, as well as, you know, a more hard hard approach into a hard science. We've, you know, being more critical, you know, than what it is, what that projectology and the sciences attributed to Waldo have become.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about the benefits. What can you, why should you do this? I mean, we have a lot of listeners. Some of them can project and some of them cannot. They are highly interested in doing this or just...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Occasionally try to leave their body and experience another dimension, another world, another sphere. And so why should they do that?
Well, it's I can, from a subjective, you know, point of view, I would say that for me, life would be dull, would be uninteresting without having this realm of reality. So it's like... you not having the ability to walk, so it's is you having a powerful, you know, ability inside of yourself and not using it, and so that's my subjective.
Is it suppressed then?
No, it's not necessarily suppressed, but it's not explored. Yeah, and sometimes it is suppressed when people have had at a younger age or some experience and they were afraid of it. Mm. Because of religion, because of my lack of understanding, because their parents didn't know better. So sometimes a lot of, you know, the younger people who have had this, sometimes, you know, they suppress this because they don't know. You have, like, you know, an experience like the vibrational state that is very strong, and you wonder, and you ask your parents, and the parents will say to you, "Oh, it's just a dream."
You know? Me, it was like memory. Now I remember I did this before. Now I remember the big reality, the real reality. Now I remember a lot of things when I came out of body the first time.
So I would say that's another benefit, because you start to realize, from my first experience, I start to shift entirely my understanding of life and say to myself, how is this possible that we have that ability and that nobody is exploring, studying, understanding, and nobody understands that that's true? And then when I went to look at, you know, Plato's book, like different books that, you know, where he mentioned the experience of those reality, for example, in the Myth of True Earth, where he talks about inhabitants of that spheres or those multidimensional spheres. What happens is that you start with the all body experience, you start to open your mind to that new reality and to understand that life is much more complex than we normally see with our physical reality. And so it really shifts your understanding in so many different ways and things. So you can, for example, start to have access to memories that you were never having in the physical reality. So access to the information, access to knowledge, access to an understanding, access to perceptions that you would not have otherwise. But I think that, you know, the first thing that we ought to think about is that why to have this is because simply that's a natural condition. Mm-hmm. We are meant to have that. Mm-hmm. We are wired genetically. When this atonia happens during the night, this is a doorway for us to experience this. We are not meant to live only in the physical reality. Mm. What happens is that we are, genetically speaking, wired, predisposed to have those experiences. Mm. But from an evolutionary standpoint, we haven't. So if we look at, you know, the history of, you know, mankind, we went through different revolutions. Mm-hmm. So we had, for example, the fire revolution when we started doing fire. What has happened there is that people were getting closer together, and that closeness would allow you to evolve a certain aspect of your evolution as a consciousness. You would have to be more condescending about, you know, the behavior of others. You would have to live in group before you would be scattered. And so we had the revolution of the agriculture, for example. So there we had, you know, to have ethical standards to know where, you know, the food was going. And then we had the, for example, the scientific revolution during, you know, the Enlightenment years. So we start to using what? Our brain in a way that we were not, using more rationality and things like this. And so what I think is that from an evolutionary standpoint, we were always open, but we were always open to experience that, but that was suppressed a lot by religion. Yeah. And then we had the scientific revolution of the Enlightenment that were, because of religion mostly, inputting a rational condition into conditions that are subjective and they are that could be or that could have been experienced in a different way. But we are here now in a crossroad where we are open to have information, to experience this, and to try and to train ourselves to have that new shift in terms of our evolution, the evolution of the brain. Mm-hmm. So we are not able still, most of us are not able, for example, to do and achieve lucid dreaming, mm-hmm. which is often confused with, you know, out-body experience. But this shows what? That we are in a process of adaptation of our brain. Mm-hmm. So the brain, the more we train the brain, the more it will adapt, the more we will reward, the more we will be fit and ready, and we will be able to achieve those states. So the question is a question of training and being open, because the predisposition is just the base. We have a genetic, you know, predisposition, but we have to use it. Mm. It's like it's a web law. Web law in neuroscience means that you connect neurons together when your behavior is imposing this connection. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you start learning the piano, you start rewiring your brain so that it becomes a habit. It becomes something that you learn. But you have to go through the process of learning for this to become more natural to you.
Yes. And on a much more personal, private level, if you go out of body, I would say that many people claim that I have no longer fear of death, for instance.
Yes, that's correct.
It's a great value in mm-hmm. my eyes. And then they can, you know, be reunited with loved ones, deceased loved ones. And then we have a lot of other, you know, great things going on here.
So yes.
There's a lot of things that tell us that we really should do this. It's a lot of also health in this, a lot of health aspects.
Yes.
A lot of healing in it.
Yes. Yeah.
Many people that are OBEers live with this ability. They claim that they, for instance, can help themselves in many, many ways from this outer body state.
That's
or
correct.
Related things.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and this could go on forever because there are so many
there
benefits.
Are, yeah. What I would say is that a lot of those benefits are not yet well studied. Mm-hmm. We need to study mm-hmm. them more. Ah. But certainly I have been doing, you know, out body for more than 20 years. I never had, you know, a direct impact negative, you know, that is to my health or otherwise, by doing those experiences.
Exactly.
So and also certainly, you know, I think that, you know, you become a much more deeper person in terms of your understanding of life and understanding of meaning, who we are, what we are doing here, where we are going. And so that's very important, where we are coming from. And so you have all those philosophical questions that are practically answered by your long-term experience and repeated experience.
Sure. I totally agree to that, definitely. And the thing that I think is most interesting with my own out-of-body journeys is when I am able to see, meet, and communicate with other entities, so to speak, on another level of reality, not on Earth. I am from Earth. I am leaving my body. I'm going to another dimension. There I can meet up and discuss things with people. I can, you know, connect with them. And then we say to each other, all right, now I have to leave. Oh, yeah, the same case for me. I have to leave too. Okay, bye-bye. See you later. And I will go back to my body. And they will go back to their body, maybe. And that doesn't mean necessarily that they have their own body even on Earth. Or they can also be discarnated, not having a physical body to
you can
re-enter to. And that is so, I mean, it's big, isn't it?
Yes. Well, so you have a lot of examples of, you know, experiences or of people who have met, for example, deceased, you know, relatives, and that had, you know, given them information that they didn't know about. For example, a projection of, you know, a person that had, you know, his father died, and then he didn't know that there was a bank account that was, you know, associated with, you know, their names as a gift to them. And because he was a lawyer, he was able to, you know, go to the law and verify. But the first thing is that he was able to access that information. Nobody knew about this. And so if he wouldn't have had that experience, he wouldn't have known, he wouldn't have checked, he wouldn't have, you know, the money. Yeah. So there are lots of things that are also very practical in those sense. However, that's the possibly the least interesting bit, because really what is interesting is that if you meet a dead relative is, you know, the impact it has on you. It's like, you know that they are feeling well, that they are in another dimension and that they are okay, and sometimes they are even happy, and so so that's what we need to know.
Very health supportive.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's when we look at, you know, the research that has been done on this, that's really, really quite interesting, because that happens more often. That type of communication happens more often than we are inclined to think. And the reality is that this, as you were saying, is healthy, because a lot of the times that condition leads the person to feel better. So, for example, there was another person that has had, you know, an experience where his wife died, and he was very sorry and feeling bad for it, and he wasn't willing to go on. And then he met his ex-wife, you know, out of the body, and she welcomed him and said, look, you have to go on. I'm authorizing you to go on. And so from there on, he was, you know, relief to know that he wasn't breaking his vow of love to her. And then he continued and married afterwards.
A lot of other encounters or contacts that you are having on other levels of reality. I know that you call them helpers or something like that.
Yes.
And perhaps I have other names because they are not my loved ones or something like that. That's a whole entirely different level of reality where people, they live actually on another plane of existence. And they are, you can choose to call them extraterrestrials or alien or whatever you choose to call them, or just high level beings on another dimension of reality.
Yes.
And the thing is that you have this reality inside of you, but hey, we also have this inside of us, right?
So you mean the physical reality
exactly,
as well, both.
And I think it's hard for people to understand this, that we actually can, you know, in a fully conscious state, leave our body, go to another plane of existence, communicate and meet up with people and then leave them and go back to your own reality.
But it's like visiting a friend in another city. You're going to visit a friend in a city where, you know, he's a researcher, he's doing a very specific type of research in a phenomena, and he's a leading edge, you know, expert there. You go to visit, you stay a few hours with him, you go back.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So that reality is the reality of more advanced type of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And often that's even more difficult for you to remember because you are from, you know, experience of, you know, reporting people, you are in a more evolved environment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's more difficult simply because you don't necessarily have the level to understand.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have a talk with Einstein about his theory of relativity is what, 100 years old almost now, or if it's not now, certainly we would not be able to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only 100 years old of information.
Exactly.
It's not the new leading edge information about relativity and association with quantum physics. So the big question there is really how we can understand, you know, those things and how we can bring it back to that reality, because one
can help us.
Yeah, the one of the benefits that we were talking about of our body experience is exactly that: expanding of our awareness, expanding of our understanding, expanding in terms of the intellectual sense, but also in terms of your experiential sense. So you have a different focus into your life where you can, you know, open yourself to those different reality. The walls, you know, they are not limits anymore to your experience of, you know, perception. And that's the first shift. And then you can have even more advanced type of experience that are really, you know, at the cosmic level. And that's what's really interesting is when is the goal of our evolution is really to try to achieve that state.
Mm. Oh my God, this is so exciting and interesting, all of this, but we do not have so much time left. So now I will go on this subject, extraphysical romance.
Yes, well, it's an interesting...
You know, incubus and succubus,
yes.
You read that in the history.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people in Sweden that are OBers, or they can, you know, project sometimes, they are actually, they tell me about that they have had a sexual...
romance, encounter.
Yeah, exactly. In and out of body state. So that's quite common, I would say. What can you say about it?
Yeah. Maybe I will disappoint you a little bit, the fact is that what we have to understand is that sexuality, it's in itself a physical condition. It's related to the hormones. In the extraphysical dimension, there is, of course, the possibility of you having, you know, intercourse with, you know, that physical reality that is, you know, beyond the physical. But it's just mimicking a reality of the physical body. It's like you mimicking something that is less evolved.
I agree to that, definitely.
But the reality of that, you know, romantic encounters is more like a kind of connection or deeper connection with, you know, the sentiments, the feelings, the ideas of the person. It's like a kind of...
melting
conversions of two souls that are going to exchange positively, you know, different types of emotions and energy, okay? And it's not necessarily related to sex. And most of the time when we have, you know, extraphysical encounters related to sex is because our people are in need of that in the physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a frustration somewhere that leads you to think about this and leads you to be connected. For example, at the present moment, I am myself, you know, without a romantic partner. So what happens to me is that sometimes I have, you know, some encounters there that are positive, not necessarily sexual, but they are positive for the heart, for me not feeling alone.
So it's about love.
It's about friendship. It's about love. I would say it's a level above that.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, you can meet someone that you have had a relationship in a past life, for example, where, you know, you just meet the person and it's just a kind of connection. You in don't feel as alone.
In this out-of-body condition.
So, for example, people are talking about, you know, the seclusion that they live, you know, in COVID time where, you know, we are secluded and we are not connecting. And myself as a researcher, a little bit secluded from, you know, the community, I feel that is extremely positive from time to time for me to have those interactions. In a positive way, it doesn't affect me negatively. Mm-hmm. So that's the most important thing to be aware of, because the succumbus and incumbus type of relationship, it means that you are taken something negatively or you are influenced negatively to have certain type of behaviors that you don't necessarily is inclined to have. But when you have this positive relationship, it's like having a positive relationship with meeting a friend. It's a contact. Okay, it can go a little bit deeper than this. It can be much deeper. And sometimes you can even meet the person that you are going to be romantically involved before. Yeah. And there are some, you know, reports to that. There is, you know, a very interesting account from a book called The 25th Man. I forgot the name, the author. But where he was in prison and he met the love of his life, his wife, his future wife, in a projection. When he was in a prison, but that's the fact to remember, is that that condition in the most advanced levels of interrelationship is a more a condition of friendship, of interaction of energy, and less about sex as we understand it from a physical level, and even though it can be mimicked, you know, in the extraphysical dimension, but. To what degree and to what level is this necessary? Because simply you are not subjected to the needs of the physical body. Here we eat because we need substance. We have, you know, a production of hormones, you know, that leads us to have certain drives and certain needs in the same way. And so attending those needs is what is positive for evolution. But when we are a consciousness, do we have the same need of that connection? Maybe not that much. Maybe the condition is different.
This is so interesting to hear your perspective on this subject, astral love and romance and ecstasy. And also you mentioned this about prison. And I can recall, I heard that people in, you know, lifetime sentence, lifetime imprisonment, that I think it could be from Aldo Vieira and you at IOC, that you were some kind of doing... You can call it a charity act to go to prison and learn those prisoners to actually leave their body.
Yes, that's correct. Just to clarify,
have you heard
I don't.
About it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's correct, and I think that's needed. But just to clarify, I don't represent IAC because you say you IAC.
Sorry.
Yes,
yeah.
I was instructor. You know, an instructor and director there at IAC for a few years, but I don't represent them actually. But yeah, you are entirely right. And one of the benefits that we see with teaching people or with apparatus as the ones we want to create with the company Gamma Wave Technologies. To help people induce, you know, lucid dreaming and out-body-like type of experience, is that it will help them to induce this. And this shift that we want to have in human psyche, and so that we are giving the tools for people to engage more objectively with those states, but also predisposing, helping them to induce those states and helping them change. Because that's the most important shift. That's the most important thing, is that all body experience gives you a shift into your psyche and leads you to be more aware of other types of possibility and other types of, you know, perception of what life is. What life is, what you think, what you believe is up to you. But the reality is that it's a shame to see that we have so much power inside of us and that goes unexplored. And so exploring that should be something that is really a necessity. And I think that in this day and age of crisis where people are trying to find their ways, trying to be more rational, trying to have a more positive type of living, a more positive type of life, ethically, morally, we would be more wise to open ourselves to that type of experience, because it will challenge our beliefs of what life is.
Oh, sounds great. Yes, yes. And the very, very last thing I want to ask you is, and this is only for the listeners of Medium Pod, then, what will be your best, you know, suggestions if they want to do this for themselves to try to achieve this nice state, out-of-body condition? What will they do? What is your...
Well, I mean, there are different sorts of techniques. And the important thing is that, you know, for people to feel safe, you know, that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. First, it's like there is no danger out of this. There is no affection that you will have, you know, on your psyche. And that's my belief, that everything that we go through, everything that we experience is up to a certain point something that we call upon us to experience and to grow up with. I don't think that there is really... objectively injustice in that sense. And in any case, if there is, I think that you will grow with those experiences. So sometimes people feel a little bit taken off by this, but most of the experiences are positive. And we have to, just to finalize this, and that's what's important, because people need to contextualize this. This level of reality here that we are, the yes. physical reality, mm-hmm. is the lowest reality. Mm-hmm. Is the more negative, between brackets, the less evolved. Mm-hmm. So when we go out of the body, we shift into a direction that is going towards those more evolved places. So why should it be negative? Exactly. So people should be, you know, very aware of that condition, aware of the fact that, first of all, our body experience is a natural condition. Is induced through natural means that we cannot prevent, because you're going to sleep, you're going to achieve atonia, you're going to go through REM stage, which is a doorway to the out body experience. Mm-hmm. So that's a natural condition. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do it, it's up to you, but mm-hmm. it will happen nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And so why not explore it? You know, and this will give you a lot of those, you know, benefit with time that mm-hmm. we were discussing. But then, of course, you need to explore this. And to explore that, you need to understand, you know, the different, you know, mechanisms, the different phenomena. And one of the things that I would suggest for people who would like to try, you know, out-body experience is to start to work with the vibrational state.
Yeah,
vibrational because that will be the foundation mm-hmm. of, you know, their, you know, potential to experience that. Mm-hmm. And so it's a transition as well. The vibrational state, when specifically when it occurs spontaneously again during the night, it's often a transition to the out body. So inducing that, knowing what it is, will shift your ability to induce the out body experience.
Thank you so much,
Rodrigo. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Ja, det var allt för idag, och vi hoppas att du vill lyssna på oss igen.
Vi finns varje måndag på Acast, iTunes, Spotify, mediumpodden.se samt på Facebook-sidan Mediumpodden. Du hittar oss även i poddappen i din telefon. Det går att prenumerera på podden. Gör gärna det så att du inte missar något avsnitt.
Vi önskar dig en härlig dag.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.